Praise God. Why don't we turn over to Ephesians 3 this morning? Yeah, this is a big thing with God right here. This is part of how we're going to grow. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Anybody there? It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man." Can your inner man get stronger? Yeah, it can, right here, right? That you'd be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That we would just be filled up. You know, we're supposed to be so full of God that it just overflows. That when we're interacting with other people, that it's just overflowing. We're just filled up with Him. And so we interact with people, and what do they see? We don't want them really to see us. We want them to see Him. You know? We don't need them to see us. We want people to see Him. We want to be vessels that He can flow through, right? I don't know about you. I mean, I want to be used by Him. I want people not to say they're, you know, look at all what Jim did, but look at, you can see God's moving in his life. You can see God as an outflow of Him. We want people to see Jesus. It's all about Him. It's not about us. Everything that we accomplish here, we're going to throw our crowns, anything we get, we're going to throw it at His feet. There are rewards. Don't make no mistake. There are rewards in heaven, and we're going to see it. Everybody is going to see it. Everybody is going to see it. But everybody will also know that it's all because of the Lamb that was slain. That we could do nothing without Him. And we'll just bow down to Him and say, "Lord, I know." Don't each of you know? If God has brought you through something, you know some things that nobody else in this room knows. Maybe your spouse does. But you know that if it wasn't for His grace and His work in your life, you would have fallen. You know you would have gone down. If He had not sustained you, you may have not even be here today. Right? You know why you're here. You know why you got some things accomplished. And you know if you're relying on Him, it wasn't you. There's some times you know that if He didn't come through for you, you're done. He sustained you. He held you up. He strengthened you. He's a good God. He's a merciful God. All the times that He's sustained us and He's helped us. Oh, there's times I can remember in my life. It's stupid stuff. Could have been, might not be here today. But for the mercy and grace of God. Hallelujah. He's so good. We want to be full of Him. So full of Him and His love and His mercy, it just comes out of us. It just emanates from us. That we're strengthened on the inside. Full of His love, because He is love. And this is the crux of the matter right here. A lot of the Christian walk comes down to this. It's what we do in this area. and our effect on other people is so much influenced by this right here. Hey, you could have all the ability in the world, you could have all the money, you could have all the power, but you know as well as I do, other people look on you, you're judged a lot of times by how you treat other people. People don't want to hear what you say. You know, it doesn't matter if you're the richest person around. If you're, you know, not nice, people are like, whatever. Really? You could be the most talented person. Blow people, you know, just they heard you sing and play or whatever, but then they see how you treat somebody else, and they'd be like, whatever, you may be able to sing, but I don't want to be around you, right? On the other hand, you could have none of these things that just, I mean, you may have abilities, but you don't have one of these things that crowds come to see you, but the love of God is shining through you, and people say, I like that person. I'd like to be around them, right? Is that true? That's if we're truly walking with Him, then we're going to walk in love. We're going to yield to Him. That's what we've been talking about. We're going to yield to Him. We're going to yield to the Spirit of God. What's the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God is love. He helps us to do this. You can't truly do this just with your own strength. It's supernatural. Thank you, Lord. Let's go through a few scriptures on our sheet, just in review. Romans 5:5, we read this several times. It says, Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Does that sound like you may be filled with all the fullness of God? That the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That same verse in the New Century Version, we read that God has poured out His love to fill our hearts. To fill our hearts, He gave us His love through the Holy Spirit whom God has given us. The New Living Translation says, "For we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love." When you're being filled with all the fullness of God, you will be filled with the love of God. And that love of God will overflow into every part of your life. It'll overflow to your spouse. It'll overflow to your siblings. It'll overflow to your children. Overflow to your employer or your customers or whomever. You just can't stop it. I mean, you know, if you take a cup and you just start pouring a liquid in there and it starts overflowing, it just goes everywhere, right? I mean, it's just going to start going down and get all over your table and, you know, it just overflows. If it's overflowing, if it's filled up, it's just going to overflow. It's just going to spill out. There's no stopping because it doesn't have anywhere else to go. Right? When we get so full with the love of God, it's going to come out. You don't have to work this up. If we're always just trying to work it up, then maybe we're not full. You know, if you don't have a glass full and you're like, well, I don't know, it's not coming out. Well, you can sit there all day and look at it. It's not coming out. You know, unless you knock it over. Right? You have a glass sitting there and you fill it about half full of milk. That milk is not going to spontaneously jump out. It's not going to get over anything else, right? And if you think it's just trying to get it out, just looking at it or what, it's not going to happen. But you fill it up till it flows over. You don't have any problem. It's just going to go everywhere. And then you maybe you don't want that, you know, on your kitchen table or whatever, but it's going to get everywhere, right? Well, if we're filled up, you're not going to have any problem loving people. I'm not saying you won't be challenged, but it's going to overflow. If we're always going, I've got to walk in love, I've got to walk in love, I've got to walk in love, we're not filled. Do you think Jesus went around going, I've got to walk in love with you, I'm going to. Disciples, 3 years, good night, people. Now, I mean, he did talk like that, but he was always walking in love. How long have I been with you guys? Now let me talk to you. But it was flowing out of him. He never was trying to work it up. It's just who he was. You realize everything Jesus did was love. In other words, he never did anything out of anger, like, that was not in line with the Holy Spirit. So he didn't do anything out of the flesh. He got angry, but he didn't sin. There's a difference. He got angry, but he did. Everything he did was still loving. It is exactly what those people needed. Right? So if sometimes in our life we're just like, man, I can't love this person. I'm having a hard time. God, he ticked me off. You know, every time I see him, the way they smile, I can't even see him. If we're constantly like that, then we're not filled up. And it's not a matter of trying real hard. It's a matter of just getting overflow with the love of God to where it overflows. Now, I'm not saying you won't have to put your flesh down. Yes, you will have to put your flesh down. But it will be easier to put your flesh down when you're built up and you're filled up. This is what we talked about a couple weeks ago. What you exercise will get stronger. What you feed will get stronger. What you starve will get weaker. So if we're constantly giving in to our flesh, constantly giving in to our fleshly desires, our carnal desires, that's going to get stronger. It's going to get stronger. It's going to be easier to yield to it. But on the other hand, if we're yielding to the Spirit of God and the love of God and letting that flow and letting that dominate us, that's going to get stronger. We're going to get filled up with that to where our flesh stands up and tries to tell us something, and we're able to put it down more easily, and the love of God just keeps flowing. Let's read a couple more scriptures before we go on. Let's skip down to Galatians, where we were last time. Galatians 5:22, look at it on your sheet. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And we also read last time in some verses right above this, all the works of the flesh. It goes in Galatians, lists a bunch of the works of the flesh. And we said how your flesh is warring against your spirit, and your spirit, the flesh. In other words, your flesh wants to do certain things. It just does. And if you let your flesh go, it's going to do whatever you let it do. And has anybody ever noticed this? The more you yield or give in to a certain area with your flesh, the easier it gets to do that. Has anybody ever noticed that? That's how habits are formed, right? You can do something and you can, like, once, and you can stop doing it. Maybe. Depending on what it is. But let's say you do something and you say, I'm not going to do that anymore. But you do it, and then you do it again. And then you do it again. Maybe you stop there and you're still, okay, I walk away. I'm not going to do it. Months go by. But then you come back and you do it. And you yield to it. And you yield to it. And you yield to it. It gets easier, gets easier, gets easier. And if you keep doing it over weeks, pretty soon you go to say, I'm not going to do that. And something's pulling you that way. Right? There's something that, wait a minute, I said I don't want to do that, and something pulls you back. Because your flesh has now, you've given into it enough to where it's been fed. It's stronger. Instead of putting it down, you're yielding to it. If we yield to it, it gets stronger. It's the same thing, though, with the Spirit of God. You know, you can yield to the Spirit of God 1 minute, and yield to your flesh the next minute? You could say something just right in line with the Spirit of God and the Word of God to your spouse, and the next minute say something that is straight, from the pit of hell, and it's your flesh. Boom. Does that mean you're all of a sudden possessed by the devil? No. It means you just yielded to the wrong thing. And you could do this. You could yield to one thing, and you could yield to the other thing. And this is basically life we go through every day, deciding at any given point what we're going to yield to. And that determines the destiny of our life. We make these decisions every day. We choose one thing or another, and then we decide, well, how am I going to yield? How am I going to yield? Now, you might not be thinking like that. But you know as well as I do that certain actions that you've done enough have consequences. If I know if I go a certain direction, there's going to be a certain consequence, right? I know if I do X, I'm going to be tempted to do Y, and therefore Z, right? So we make these decisions, and we want to walk in line with the Spirit of God. The more we yield to Him, the more our behavior will line up with God's best for us, with the way He would have us walk. We will walk in line with the Spirit the more we yield to Him. And the good news is, we've been given the Holy Ghost on the inside of us to help us do this. And we've talked about this. Just look up on your scripture there real quick. Look at John 14:26. It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." The Helper, the Holy Spirit, He's there to help us walk with Him. Look in Ezekiel 36, we read this as well. 25, it says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." So we read just earlier that we will be filled, that we're praying here. This Ephesians is actually a prayer. It says, "To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Well, we have the Spirit of the living God in us to help us to walk in love. He's filled us up with His Spirit, filled us up with His love, and we yield to that. We yield to that love of God. It causes us to walk in His ways, in His statutes, and causes us to have victory over the actions or what our flesh would like to do. The more we yield to the Spirit of God in us, He has given to us to help us do this very thing. In and of yourself trying to win over the flesh is futile. People have succeeded to a degree disciplining their flesh, but it pops out somewhere in their lives. They may look like they're disciplining their flesh and putting it down, but if it's not done by the Spirit of God, it's going to come up somewhere else. Yeah. And so if you try to discipline yourself in your strength, I'm not saying you can't do it to a measure. People do it all the time. But a lot of people, they look like they got certain things together, but there's something out here that's completely out of whack, and it's just a matter of time before that comes out or trips them up. Because you can't do it in your own strength just to overcome the flesh. But you can do it by the power of God. And the power of God, when we yield to Him and yield to the love of God, He will help us overcome things for good. In other words, you can get a measure of success overcoming the flesh in certain areas, but God will always deal with the root. He'll come right in to the very heart of the matter, and if that's gone, if he rips that out, you don't have the problem anymore. It's gone for good. You could look the problem right in the eye and say, you have the victory over it. You could be tempted, but the temptation is so weak at that point, you're in the mode of just pushing it off. You've gotten to the point where you're yielding to the Spirit of God, to where these temptations that used to overtake you, you look at it, you shut it down immediately. Now, if you were to start yielding to it again, it could come back up. But the fact is, you're strong, and the Spirit of God has strengthened you to the point to where it pops up and you just hit it right back down. It pops up a little bit, you hit it right back down. And it's just like you're walking down the street, there's a temptation, boom, you knock it right back down. It's no thing to you. And you keep it that way, you're strong. You're over it. The only way that could ever get back in your life is for you to specifically start yielding to it. When you start yielding to it, it's going to get stronger. But you can, just because you've yielded to it again, you can stomp it right back down and say, no, I'm backing off that. It's only by repetitively yielding to it, 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 then it's going to get stronger. The good news is the Holy Spirit is always in us to help us go right back the other way. And no matter where we are today in any given area, there are areas you may be completely strong in. There are other areas you're dealing with certain temptation in. The answer is the same in all of them. Look to the Spirit of God, and he will show you exactly what to do to get the victory over it. And it all comes from yielding to him. You walk in the Spirit. Walk according to that. Walk according to that love of God that's in you. You will have the victory over whatever it is, because God knows how to overcome whatever you're facing right now. I don't care if it's been there for 30 years or 3 minutes. He knows exactly what to do to get you out of that mess. And it comes from just yielding to him. The good news is we can yield to him today. We can decide that Spirit of God, see, the Spirit of God is living in anyone that's been born again. Now. So if you've all been born again in this room, the Almighty Spirit of the living God is in you right now to help you with anything that you may be facing. You think he can handle it? Is there anybody in here that would say it's too big for God? If it were his problem, he couldn't overcome it because it's too big. Is there anybody that say that's my problem, and we'll talk to you after the service and get you straightened up? No, I don't think anybody in here, if you really believe God is who he says he is, I don't care what it has to deal with. Just look it in the face, and if you look at it, say, can God handle this if it were his problem? If the answer is yes, the good news is he's in us now to help us do this very thing. He isn't in here. Why is he here? To help people like us, because he doesn't need help. Why did Jesus come? He didn't come to help himself. Jesus didn't need a Savior. He died for you and me. And the fact is, we have the Spirit of the living God inside of us now. Every one of us. If we've been born again, and he's there to take the part with us and help us. Like, what do we just read in Ezekiel? Look at the last part of that, verse 27. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. This is part of what he does. He's there to help us. So if the enemy's told you, you're done. You will live with this the rest of your life. You cannot overcome this because you're too far gone. That does not jive with Scripture. You're basically saying, if you're going to live a Christian life and you're going to yield to Him, if you say this thing is too big, what you've said is God is a failure. God cannot handle this. But if that sounds foolish to you, and it is, that's because it's a lie, then the reality is, whatever I'm facing, God already knows how to get me to the other side. And if I yield to Him, I'm going to get over it. And it doesn't matter how long it's been there. Decades do not impress God. Well, God has been here for 40 years. That's like you saying, your child come up to you, but I've had this thing for 3 minutes. Okay? He's always been. God has no beginning. So what do you think 40 years sounds like to Him? Okay, and your point is, I am the Almighty, and you're telling me what? It's just like little human, you just showed up on the scene, and you're saying, this is too big for me. Have you looked around the universe? I run all this. I'm not saying God's condescending, but I mean, if we were to look at Him, He's so gracious and merciful. He wouldn't say anything. He would just smile and go, I know. And we can get through it. But if you look at who you're talking to, the Almighty, seen everything that humanity has to, you know, think they're good at, bad at, whatever, you know, all the greatness, and He looks at it and goes, okay. He is the Almighty. I don't think we really grasp what we're even saying, what these scriptures say, because the Spirit of Christ indwells us now. If you have the Spirit of Jesus inside of you right now, is there anything that He cannot handle? No. So what's this, well, I can't get over it. What? Okay, then we're not letting Him help us. Because the Helper, if we let Him help us, He can get us past it. What do we have to do? Quit yielding to the flesh and to the world system and the way they want to do stuff, and start yielding to the Spirit that's indwelling us and what God says about us and the love that has been poured out in our heart. If you haven't listened to these messages up to this point, I encourage you to go back and listen, because we're building on what we've already said. The love of God, it has been poured out in your heart. That means you have it now. We have the love of God poured out in our hearts. And if we're walking love, then we're walking in the Spirit. And the Spirit, see people, hallelujah, without getting into the specifics of love right now, people have just, well, what does love have to do with it? Love has everything to do with it, because love is God. If we understand what in our situation, if we were looking at it through the eyes of love and we are so full of love, we look at certain things that have entrapped us today and we say, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Because we're just so full of that love that we wouldn't do that to ourselves. We wouldn't do that to somebody else. We're not going to do it. We're just not going to do it, because we're going to yield to Him. And He wouldn't do it, so we're not going to do it. And we're free. Just like that. But it just comes from yielding to Him. Let's look at Romans. Let's turn over to Romans. Thank you, Lord. God is helping us. He has given us the ability to walk victoriously here on this earth. So we saw in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we are going to walk in love. You can't walk in the Spirit and not be walking in love. If you're walking in the Spirit, somebody say, well, he's not walking in love. Then you're not walking in the Spirit. Well, he's walking in love. Well, then you're walking in the Spirit. Well, he's walking in love, but he's not walking in the Spirit. No, that's not possible. If you're going to walk, in love, you are walking according to the Spirit because you're yielding to the Spirit in you. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." So you see this war going on between the flesh and the Spirit. And it says capital S there. It's the same thing like we talked about. There is no capital. So you could say, I mean, just look at it in context. But you're talking about the flesh and you're talking about the Spirit. We have a spirit. I mean, if you're yielding to the Spirit of God and to your spirit, and that's aligned with the Spirit of God, you're going to be doing the same thing. But sometimes it helps if you look at it. It's saying, like in verse 4, "Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Well, it's talking about your flesh there. If you yield to your spirit, then you're going to yield to the Spirit of God because your spirit's born again. And then it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." See? You set your mind on the flesh. That means you start thinking about what you want to do in the flesh. What does it say? If you are living according to the flesh, you're going to set your mind on that. If you set your mind on it, you're going to do it. But it says also then, "But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or naturally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God." So if we yield to the flesh, your fleshly desires, you are in contrast to yielding to your spirit, which pleases God. So this walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh, it's a matter of just yielding to the Spirit that's inside of us, which is yielding to the love of God on the inside. If we'll yield to the love of God, then we'll see Him manifest in our life, and we'll go, our lives will go according to love. Now look at verse 9. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who is raised from the dead, or raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." How are you going to put to death the deeds of the body? By the Spirit. You can't put to death the deeds of the flesh by the flesh. How do you put to death or the deeds of the body? You're going to set your mind on the things of the Spirit, and you're going to, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the flesh. That's the way to overcome. How is this done? It says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." We've talked about being led by the Spirit of God. Being led by the Spirit of God is not just for these big decisions like, who am I going to marry? What job am I going to take? It has everyday ramifications that you're walking down the street. You can determine if I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God right now or by my flesh. And really, the more that we'll yield to our spirit in little things, it will get easier and easier. When you yield to your flesh, when you know something's wrong, you know what to do, you know you could avoid it, but you do it anyway, that's dangerous because you purposefully give your flesh ascendancy at that point. And you think, the deception is, I can stop whenever I want. And the devil will take you farther than you want to go. It's like a hook. You know, ever gone fishing? I know Pete's a fisherman. I fish a little bit. But, you know, that fish is going after the bait. And you can let him go for a while, but at some point, if you set that hook, he can wiggle all he wants, but he can't get it out. That's the way sin is. That's the way Satan tries to play to our flesh. He just wants to get you to mess with it. He wants to get you just to play with it when you think, I can stop anytime I want. And he wants you to bite and then just see how you could let it go. Yeah, no harm done. Still feel like God's here. No major ramifications to my family or my job. That wasn't so bad. Still feel spiritual. Whatever. He's trying to get you to bite it again and yield to your flesh again. And he is persistent and he's subtle. And he tries to reel us in to where he gets you, grabs you with something, and now you say, oh, I don't want to do this anymore, but your flesh is hooked. How do you get out of that? How do you get out of that? You're going to get out of it by the Spirit of God. Number one, you go to God and say, and to get out of it, don't just try to start doing it on your own. You say, God, I blew it. You recognize what you did and say, Lord, I know. I yielded to that thing. I'm sorry. I renounce it. That was wrong. You say what God says about it. You say, that was wrong. That was a mess up. I'm sorry. I'm turning away from it. God can get you out. God can get you out of any habit. God can get you out of any financial mess. But you turn to Him and say, by your help, I can do it. By your help, I will get victory over where I've yielded to the flesh. Don't glorify your flesh. Don't make it bigger. Say, you know, if you do that, if you say, oh, it's just such a hard problem. It's just, you don't understand. It's just, I have, you're putting it on the throne. You're saying, this is a big problem. This is really, really big. What's that doing? You're setting your mind on the things of the flesh. You're saying, this cannot be helped. This is a big thing. I'm not sure. What is that doing? That's just building it up. That's just making it harder. Don't put your mind on that. It doesn't matter how many times you've yielded to it. What you need to do is stop and go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I acknowledge that was wrong. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Help me get out. Now look to Him. Now realize you have the Spirit of God. You put it behind you. You put it behind you. I said you put it behind you. It's not going to do any good to keep bringing it up and go, oh, I wish I would. Okay, fine. Once you understand the problem, put it behind you. If you brought it before God, you've repented of it, then get it behind you. Because as long as it's in front of you, you're going to keep tripping over it. But don't mess with it. Don't try to have it both ways and say, well, I kind of want that, so I'm going to keep it, but God deliver me. It does not work that way. But if we'll just say, God, I want this thing out. I see where it got in, or you don't have to go back if it's been years. You don't have to figure all that stuff out. All you have to say is, God, I messed up. You know, you don't have to repent of every little sin, name them all. Do you know David? David, when he had Uriah killed and he committed adultery with Bathsheba and all these things that he did, you know, when he repented, he came to God and said, God, I've sinned before you. Against you. And that's what he said. You don't have to go back and name every little thing. Just go into God and say, God, I blew it. I'm sorry. I sinned against you. And now, put it behind you. And now start looking at the Lord and saying, now your Spirit is inside of me. Lord, I'm looking to you. I can't do this in and of myself. I'm going to yield to you, but you have to help me. Lord, help me. I want what you want. I want your best in my life. I don't want this other stuff. I know where this has gotten me. I want you. Lord, help me and show me how to go. Show me how to get out, and He will. He'll show you how to put to death the deeds of the body. Says verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. If we'll let the Lord lead us, and He will always lead us in line with the Spirit will lead us in line with the Word, and the Spirit will always lead us in line with love. If we'll choose to walk in the Spirit, that is walking in in love, and that is walking, having ascendancy over the flesh. And by this, we can come out of anything. We can get past anything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look at Galatians 5:13 on your sheet there. Galatians 5:13, it says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for what? For the flesh. Don't mess with the deeds of the flesh. And we read those. Go read them in Galatians 5. There's a big, long list. And a lot of things that people think aren't the flesh, they're just flesh. You don't have to have a spirit to make you do anything. It's just your flesh. Not that you couldn't have a spirit doing it, but, you know, a lot of things, people get too woo-woo about stuff. Just yield to your flesh. Good, old, vanilla flesh. That's what it is. Just yield to the flesh. But it says, we have liberty. Thank God we have liberty through Jesus Christ. But what does it say here? It says, don't use the liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. through love, we have a choice again. In closing, we have a choice to yield to the Spirit or to yield to the flesh. And God said, we're free. We have liberty in Jesus. Now don't use it to yield to the flesh, because the yielding to the flesh, that's bondage. It's going to lead you somewhere you don't want to go. And there is a war going on between our flesh and our spirit, but the good news is we have the Spirit of the living God giving us the ability to walk in the Spirit every day of our lives in the little things. And the more we exercise it, the more we get, do we just start yielding to the Spirit, yielding to the Spirit, yielding to the Spirit. Then our flesh, you know, and then maybe we mess up. We yield to the flesh. What should we do? Say, forget it, I'm throwing away the whole thing. I yield to the flesh. I might as well just go all the way over in the flesh now and just, you know, next 3 days, just have a big carnal fest and flesh fest and just do all that, and then I'll come back and I'll repent in a little bit. Should you do that? No. If you yield to the flesh, say, I blew it. And then stop doing it and go right back to yielding to the Spirit. Yield to the right thing. And the more we yield to the right thing, and we yield to the right thing, and we yield to the right thing, we'll get stronger. And the more we get stronger, the flesh will try to pop up its head, and at the beginning it may be hard to resist, and it's everything we can do. And then even then, maybe we yielded to it. Okay, get back up. I blew it. I'm not going to stay there, though. I'm getting up. I'm going to yield to my Spirit. From this point forward, I'm not planning on yielding to my flesh. And you may come real close to yielding to your flesh here, but you don't. And then the next minute you do. Then you get up and go, oh, all right. But I'm not going to yield to that. I'm sorry. I'm getting up, and now I'm going to yield to my Spirit. You may not say it like this, but this is what's going on every day. And if we'll just make up our mind that the Spirit of the living God is leading me and guiding me and here to help me, and that He will get me over the hump, and whatever I've yielded to in the flesh, I'm not going to do it anymore. And if I do it, I'm going to get right back up, but I don't plan on doing it ever again. You have to have that mentality. Don't make a room for the flesh. Don't make a place for it to say, well, I'll plan to do it. It's not a good place to be. Go and yield to Him. Yield to the Spirit of the living God inside of you. And the more we do it, it's just like you're lifting weights. Your muscle is getting bigger and bigger. Your spirit man's getting stronger. You're being filled with the Spirit of God to where these things that pop up that used to trip you up for 3 days or 3 weeks come up, and you bat it off and just keep going right on down the road. And it comes up again and you squash it. You say, shut up. No, I'm not doing that. I'm doing this. And your mind is on godly things. And your mind is on the Spirit of God and on living the life that He wants for you. And it's just like a train getting going. You ever seen a train start when it's starting? It's not going anywhere. All that weight getting some momentum. But once that thing gets going, it can take miles to stop. It may look like you're not going anywhere when you start yielding to the Spirit of God. And if you're dealing with your mouth and dealing with your relationships with people and you start going down this way, it may be just, you say, yes, I'm going out of the gate today. I'm going to say nothing but good. And the first thing in, the first person you see, they say something, ticks you off, and boom, right out of the chute, you say something you shouldn't have. You can either let that discourage you, or you can get right back up and say, I'm not going to do that again. And if you do it again, you get right back up and say, no, I'm going to yield to the Spirit of God. And if you make up your mind, you will yield to the Spirit of God. If I have to do it 50 times today, you will win. And then tomorrow, I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep yielding to Him. The Spirit of God within us will cause us to win. You believe it? He will. And this is where the battles are won. I know, especially in the charismatic circles and stuff like that, you know, I've grown up in it, Word of Faith, whatever. People just want hands laid on them so many times, and that's it. Boom. It's over. Not going to mess with dealing with my flesh. You just cast out whatever spirit's in me and I'm done. I'm telling you, go back and read that list in Galatians. There are so many things that people attribute to spirits. Like I said, yeah, spirits could be motivating, but so much of it is just flesh. And how are you gonna get rid of the flesh? You're never gonna get rid of it, but you're going to get ascendancy over it, exactly what we read in Romans. You're going to put to death the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit of God. And it's one victory at a time. One victory at a time. But you, people around you may not be able to see it. People around you may not be able to see you getting stronger. But every time you yield to the Spirit of God, you're stronger. And every time you do it again, you're stronger. And the flesh is getting weaker. And you can keep going to where the Spirit of God dominates us because we yield to Him. And that's how we get victory. Amen. Hallelujah.